Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Updater Services Limited Q1 FY25 earnings conference call. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on the date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need any assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Raghunandan Thangarala, MD and Chairman. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, all of you, and a warm welcome to everyone present on this call. Along with me, I have Radha, who's the Chief Financial Officer, and Amitabh Jaipuria, who's a Non-Executive Director, and SGA, our Investor Relations Advisors. Hope you all have received the investor deck. For those of you who have not got it, I mean, don't have it, can view them on our stock exchange website, on the company website. On the business front, I will keep it brief, and I will quickly give you in a nutshell what has happened in the last one quarter. We've had some challenging times. Despite that, the company has grown reasonably as per whatever we have guided across both the segments, the IFM segment and the BSS segment. Our commitment to exceptional service has always allowed us to diversify and enhance our offering, meeting the evolving needs of our clients across various sectors. We are dedicated to surpassing our customers' goals, driving excellence in every endeavor, and solidifying our role as a trusted partner in their success. We operate B2B services. We operate in the B2B services space, which can be classified into two major segments, which you all know, the IFM segment and the BSS segment, which is the business support services. During Q1 FY25, our IFM segment contributed 64% to the overall revenue, and the balance, 36%, has come from the BSS segment. We offer in the IFM segment, like engineering services, technical services, housekeeping and cleaning services, pest control, protection support, and other support services. And in the industrial space, we do the protection support services, warehouse management, and other support services. Our key focus in the IFM segment is further to improve operational efficiency. Like we guided the last quarter, over the last three quarters, we have exited almost all the not very viable business. And going forward, I think we have kind of a clean slate. I think with this quarter, all that is over. So the growth would look definitely better going forward from this quarter. Due to this situation, we started to witness improvement in our operating margin. Last quarter is 5.7%, which stood at 4.6% during first quarter of last year. The outsourced market for the IFM segment is currently about 40,000 crores and is expected to reach 80,000 crores by FY28. This is a CAGR of approximately 17%. As of 2024, 39% of our IFM segment is outsourced and 60% is in-house, which is expected to shift to 45% over the next 2 years. India's manufacturing PMI is highest in the world and has potential to reach 1 trillion by 2025. The industry is shifting towards fully integrated facilities management with a higher demand for solution-based offerings. We have distinguished ourselves by providing a comprehensive range of services with specialized technical capabilities, and our commitment to quality and quick turnaround solutions fuels our growth. We aim to gain more market share, focusing on hard services due to a margin-accretive position and specialized nature. Companies are increasingly outsourcing facilities management to leverage expertise, cost efficiencies, and reduce attrition, allowing them to focus on their core functions and benefit from advanced technologies. This strategic shift offers a flexible and scalable solution for large corporations. We are confident our growth will stabilize at three times the national nominal GDP. Our flagship BSS segment witnessed a robust revenue growth of 34%. We are witnessing a strong shift of client preference towards outsourcing and solution-based offerings. We are also witnessing strong traction in sales enablement and audit and assurance segments, which two of our group companies are delivering these services. The market service solution segment witnessed substantial growth in Q1. We continue to witness growth in BSS segment despite the muted performance of EBGC business. We are slowly, EBGC is employee background verification, which is one of the business lines. We are slowly reducing our reliance on IT and ITSS companies in employee background verification business and slowly diversifying our revenue pool and revenue coming from other sectors such as BFSI and retail. With strong government push for boosting employment and large buildup of global capability centers, we are confident in sustaining a strong growth trajectory going forward. Through our group company, Avon, we have forayed into logistics, niche logistics and transport services, along with mailroom logistics. Avon is currently on a revenue run rate of get on 100 crore very shortly. UDS has always been highly focused on technology, on technology-driven innovations and integration of technology in our businesses. We have started to implement AI in our sales enablement business, and we've also done technology in the audit and assurance and the employee background verification business. Implementation of technology is helping us become more efficient, which in turn is increasing our BSS EBITDA margin, which stood at 9.9% as compared to 9% over last quarter. I'm also pleased to share that awesome Q1 24 airport ground handling business has turned around EBITDA positive and PAT positive, which is in line with our previous commentary. We are addressing in major emerging airports such as Pune, Tirupati, Ayodhya, etc., which are expected to receive large amounts of traffic and now operate in a total of 22 airports. Apart from ground handling aviation, Global has also started an aviation training academy to pick up pace and is expected to start positive contributions by next year. During Q1 25, the BSS segment contributed 36% to revenue and contributed 49% to EBITDA. EBITDA for BSS segment grew by 49% on a year-on-year basis. EBITDA margin for BSS segment stood at 9.9%. As of June 30, 24, we have about 900-odd clients under BSS segment. Key clients under BSS services include customers like Microsoft, TCS, P&G, Hershey's, Aditya Birla, SpiceJet, and Tata Communications. While revenue from top 10 customers keep growing, we are also expanding with them in different geographies. 77% of our revenues came from top 50 customers. We continue to be the go-to partner for several clients. We continue to be the go-to partner for several clients. Sales enabled audit assurance and EBGC needs. We are planning a strategic acquisition in the BSS space that will enhance the capabilities of UDS as a whole and be margin accretive in nature. Additionally, we are also boosting cross sales between IFM and the BSS segments, opening up significant growth opportunities and unlocking further synergies. We expect to achieve a 20% organic growth in the BSS segment, which will further improve our margins. Our ability to successfully acquire and seamlessly integrate a margin accretive business is a key differentiator for us. All of our profitable basis business stems from acquisition we have effectively integrated. The largest opportunity within the market will be in sales enablement, audit and assurance, and employee background verification, all of which will run, which are asset light and with capital efficiency in nature. To summarize, UDS is well positioned to grow given the robust industry dynamics and our proven ability to manage large contracts. The government's strong push towards employment generation, offering incentives for both white-collar and blue-collar, creates an attractive opportunity for us. We aim to leverage these favorable conditions to drive our growth. Our strategic focus remains on achieving a growth rate of 3 times the nominal GDP of the country, while maintaining a high emphasis on capital efficiency and profitability. Our expertise in handling complex and large-scale contracts has sets us apart, and we are committed to expanding our market share by delivering exceptional value and services to our customers. Looking forward, we are excited about the potential to capitalize on these industry trends and the government incentives, ensuring sustainable and profitable growth for UDS going forward. With this, I would like to hand over to our CFO, Radha Ramanujan, for your Q1 financials. Over to you, Radha.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. I'll share the Q1 FY25 financial highlights. Our revenue grew by 30% year-on-year to 6,587 million. The IFM segment revenue grew by 5% year-on-year to 4,246 million. And BSU segment revenue grew by 34% year-on-year to 2,340 million. The revenue split between IFM and BSU stood at 64-36 compared to 70-30 same last year. Quarter on quarter, we are growing the share of BSU segment. EBITDA for Q1 FY25 grew by 33% to 474 million. EBITDA margin stood at 7.2%, a solid 1% improvement over Q1 FY24, which was 6.1%. Of that, at close to 4%, witnessed a growth of 107% and stood at 256 million. Our cash profit also grew by 22% year-on-year to 382 million. Our ROC again went up by 4% compared to last quarter and stood at 24.2%. UDS is a net cash company and our net debt to equity is negative 0.48 as on 30th June 2024. Our total headcount in IFM segment stood at 51,738 employees and BSU segment stood at 14,360 employees. And during Q1 25, we added 29 logos, new logos in the IFM segment and 15 new logos in the BSU segment. With this, I'll open the floor for question and answer.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Participants present on the audio bridge who wish to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Reminder participants, you may press star and one to ask questions. We have our first question from the line of Sanjay Shah from KSA Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, gentlemen, and thanks for the opportunity. So congrats on great set of numbers. So my question was regarding our BSS, where all our three verticals like Athena, Danao, Matrix, all have really done good and improving. So how do you see that vertical panning ahead from this level, since our contribution from BSS is around 40 or slightly less than 40%? So what's your target for next 1 to 2 years we can reach in this BSS? And what are the opportunities you see on where we can we add any new services to our offerings by way of some acquisitions, and how is the strategy work out? Thank you.
So, yeah, so thanks for that question. See, when we actually went to market and even subsequently in our quarterly calls, we have been talking about a clear strategic direction that BSS will continue to grow and BSS share of our total revenue will also grow, but not very fast because even IFM is growing. So right now our projection could be that the revenue mix, for example, is 64 and 36. So this 36% revenue split could actually go up to about 40-42% in the next year and a half, 2 years. So year-on-year, maybe it will probably improve by about 2% or thereabout, 2%-3% is what we believe. Margins, as you can see, are also looking good, and there is strong margin growth as well, also in terms of the percentage margin growth. Your question about new service lines being added, see, we are always on the lookout to add new service lines. But we have a very clear idea that we will add synergistic lines, which we understand and which we can, where we know either the customer or the product or the service delivery mechanism, and where the EBITDAs are clearly accretive. We may make some acquisitions within the BSS space on the technology side, but those will be more in terms of enablers to make our functions, our products more efficient and to improve internal productivity. So service lines, customer-facing service lines, we are evaluating. Right now, we do not have any identified target.
Right, sir. So in BSS, our sales enablement services contribute around 70%-71% of our revenue in BSS. And all other are also very exciting, like audit and insurance, employee, mailroom, airport ground handling. So now, how do you see that vertical growing, panning ahead? Because we see a lot of unorganized players in this segment, correct me if I'm wrong. And do we see any green shoots on that side where we can grow?
So on the sales enablement side, we are very bullish. And not only India, but we have global customers, as you know. We also have a global delivery center in Malaysia. And we have also been expanding to Korea and to some of the other markets. So that's a global play that we have, and we are very excited about it. We are also trying to experiment with newer technologies in these areas to improve our productivity and efficiency. As far as the unorganized sector is concerned, in sales enablement, that's not a very large threat. The threat does come in employee background verification, where there are some unorganized players. But even there, there are the top five, six players are quite large. And we are amongst the top three players in any case. So it's not really that much the unorganized sector. The EBGC business had been under stress for the past few quarters. That is basically because, as we had already commented earlier, the EBGC business is very closely linked to hiring and IT hiring in particular. And we all know the IT hiring story in the last few quarters, where it has always been where it has not done well. There are some green shoots that we are seeing in IT hiring, but we don't see IT hiring coming back to the levels that we saw in 2022 and in 2021 and 2022, mainly 2022. So therefore, we are diversifying our customer base. We are also now getting into BFSI and some of the other places where employee background verification is also required and expanding in those areas. That said, overall metrics did expand at about 18% year-on-year, which is quite substantial.
Yeah, one more thing, just to add on Amitabh, what he said, you also mentioned on ground handling. Ground handling, we have an absolute kind of monopoly because we have a 10-year concession. Only along with us is another Air India, AITSL, which is an Air India company. Probably we don't see it as a big competition. Otherwise, these airport contracts are for 10 years on the 32 airports. It's a concession.
See, we had commented earlier in the previous quarterly call that we expect global to turn around this year. And we are actually quite pleased to report that it has done that. And it is now onwards, it's going to contribute to profitability. So, this business had a gestation period. In some of our airports, the 2.5-3 year gestation period is roughly over. And now we will see. This business contributing more meaningfully to our BSS numbers and therefore also to our overall numbers.
So in ground handling, this gestation period is required for because we were a new entry or it is required for each and every new airport we enter?
No, so there are two things, you are right. So the every new airport that we enter, we have to invest in equipment. So like a ground power unit, there is a ground, there is an air handling unit, there are what are called pushbacks, there are ladders, there are also, the luggage handling units, etc. So these are all equipment, buses, for example, to move the passengers. So all this equipment has to be deployed. So that is one aspect of gestation. Second is that traffic takes time to build up. So the investment happens first, traffic takes time to build up. The third area of gestation is that once you get the concession and your clock starts, then the minimum guarantee that you have to pay to the airport, that also starts. But revenue may take a little time to build up. So these are the three reasons why there is gestation.
Thank you, sir. Very helpful. Thank you and good luck to you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Balaji from IIFL.
Thanks for taking my question.
Can you please be a little louder?
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. I have a couple of questions. The first one is on, while you disclose segmental PBT margins, could you please disclose the segmental EBITDA margins for 1Q FY25, 4Q FY24 and 1Q FY24? The reason I'm asking is, gives us a better picture of the underlying momentum of the business. So in case you have it, it would be great if you could share it.
So you are asking for EBITDA margin IFM and BSS, okay, for the previous three quarters.
Yeah, rather you can take
that. Okay, Balaji, the IFM EBITDA in Q4 24 was 5.3%, whereas in Q1 24 it was 4.9%, and now it is 5.7%. The BSS EBITDA, the last quarter was 8.8%. The last year same quarter was 9%, and now it is 9.9%.
Okay. So in IFM, there is a clear trend that you are seeing. In BSS also, margins are steady, but they are also improving. So now it is 9.9%.
Both of them have grown 0.8% over last year's same.
Oh, that is quite good. And it would be, I think it will be great, if you could share this in the quarterly PPT itself going forward, so that it becomes absolutely clear, and we don't have to ask it over a call. So that is quite helpful. Secondly, on the IFM segment, you mentioned most of the low margin contracts have already been exited, and growth should improve from here on. But in general, when I look at your other listed peers also, one can see that the revenue growth has substantially tapered off, at least, based on the FNS report, it is supposed to grow at growing teams. But at least whatever we can see from the listed companies reporting is that it has been in single digits. Going forward, how long do you think will it take for you to get back to the big double digits kind of number? Thank you.
So, Balaji, this year, in spite of it, because most of the unviable contract we executed was last year, or maybe a little bit this year, first quarter. So this year, we will guide you about 14% growth, between 13 and 14% growth for this year in the IFM.
The second question was industry and why is all...
Everybody on the payers were also, in fact, I also read Quest report. They also said they are exiting unviable contracts, and they have said that's why their top line did not grow much. Mm-hmm. Because single digit, I think it was 6% or something. Yeah. But we will do much better. I'm sure we'll do between 13 to 14%. If I look at first quarter numbers, actually, you would have seen. Yeah. And normally, these IFM businesses start picking up in the second and third quarter for some reason.
Two other things I will just add, Balaji. So, when Raghu used the word, I will guide. I mean, please don't take this in the term formal guidance. This is not formal guidance, but this is an informal CEO.
Yeah, okay. That's
Now that said, the other piece is that the construction is happening all around us. So overall, A grade office space is getting added. We do expect that the market will grow and that there will be margin improvement as well, though slow. Margin improvement will be slower, but volume should come back much faster. Is the belief at this point, and we are seeing some of that momentum building up now.
Got it. And just to understand, these low margin contracts were the ones you got into during the pandemic. Is that the fair understanding? Now those contracts are expiring, and going forward, you know, the pricing pressure which we saw should be a lot less. Is that the fair understanding?
Some will be like that, but not all. Because, you know, some of these are also shorter term contracts, so they may not be 3-4 year contracts. Because in the pandemic period was 2021. Some of these could also be, you know, even earlier, for example, or some may have been shorter term contracts that we may have got into slightly later. The company's strategy is very clear. Strategy is to not spread ourselves too thin, focus on larger customers, focus on value-added services, and therefore improve margins and get steady business improvements. That is the strategy. So therefore, because as you know, that we have almost 1,500 customers. So there is a tail, there is a long tail, and some of these customers become difficult to serve profitably. So they are, also the reason is that if they are not strategic, then we will exit them over time.
Okay, got it. Thanks and all the best.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Prathmesh Diwar from Tiger Assets. Please go ahead. Mr. Prathmesh, are you there? Mr. Prathmesh?
So, am I audible?
Yeah. Please go ahead with the questions.
Oh, sorry. So first, how many are you handling? Before, I think you are...
Sir, you are not really audible. Your
Hello.
Voice is breaking. Yeah.
Am I audible now?
Yes, please go ahead.
Yeah. So my first question was on airport side. So in Q4, I think we were handling around 16 airports and more 6 we were going to add. So as of now, how much is that number?
We are operational in 22 airports as of now.
Okay.
And 10 of which were, you know, fully started billing in the last quarter.
Okay. And in coming time, let's say for FY25, how many more are we planning to add on?
At this point of time, there is only one more airport because these were a contract based out of consortium which we won earlier. And with that, we will be done in that. New airports, new airlines will keep coming in. Even now, the same airport, a new airline, one of the largest airlines is talking to us to run it. It's an initial stage of negotiation. We can get new avenues of business and new carriers who can come into.
Okay. And ma'am, if I just missed it earlier, can you give me revenue split in the BSS segment from metrics and other subsidies?
You want the breakup of BSS segment?
Top line, yeah.
My legal entity, okay.
Yeah, ma'am, from BSS segment.
Okay, from BSS segment, we had Avon, which is our logistic transport company, which had 241 million in Q1, which was almost 100% growth over the last quarter. Matrix did 315 million, which again is 18% over the last year same quarter. Global did 119 million. 129% over last quarter, last year same quarter. Dene is 790 million, which is 36% over the last year same quarter. Athena 377, which is 4% over the last year same quarter.
Okay, thank you so much, ma'am. All the best.
Thank you.
We have our next question from the line of Dhwani Shah from Investec. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for giving me this opportunity. I had a couple of questions. Just to begin with, within the IFM business, if you check the standalone itself, which you all report, the EBITDA wise revenue has come up. The EBITDA margins, excluding the other income, is at 3.7%. So just wanted to understand what is the outlook going forward on this number. And as you mentioned, IFM EBITDA margin at 5.7, which I think Radha mentioned earlier, was this with other income? And if you could give the same numbers without other income, it would be very helpful.
Sure.
Okay. Yeah, we will populate going ahead without other income, and we've also given the balance sheet and P&L published. You can even understand just 1 minute. I'll give you the other income.
So the thing is that historically you were reporting segmental with only other operating income. Now it is with other income. It is actually getting very difficult for us to understand the trend, and the bookkeeping itself is causing us to not get the final details right. So if you could please do that, that would be really helpful. And now if you could just explain the outlook on how the EBITDA margins would look for the standalone business.
Okay, the other income, we had around 58 million in this Q1 FY25. And if you are clearly wanting to understand the finance income, which is about 45 million, the 45 million on our top line of
600,
it's about 0.1%.
How much is it without the other income, EBITDA margin?
45 million will go down. My EBITDA margin, which is 474, will become
474
will become 420. So I said 0.5%.
Yeah. So going forward, we will do. We will clearly separate it out. Your idea is right. Including also the segmental, another caller had asked for the segmental numbers. We will include both of them in our quarterly deck itself, so that you don't have to try to separate it out. As you rightly pointed out, that otherwise then it could become slightly difficult. For this quarter, Radha has explained that it's about 4.5 crores, 45 million.
Understood. And yeah, just if you could share some light on how exactly is the IFM standalone business standing out, the margin improvement from 1.7 to 3.7 on a quarter-to-quarter basis looks very, looks great. So just on the outlook of that, this I believe is a function of how your low margin contracts are now exited. So
that's
just
right.
Going forward, what would it look like?
So going forward, we believe that this margin of around 4.5% should easily be should be there, and in fact we believe that overall it can be better. This is on a standalone, without other income, without finance income, without anything, just pure operating income. So we do believe that about 4.5 to 5, even 5, is what we would be looking at. But in the near term, you can easily think of about 4.5%.
Understood. And now coming to just the BSS segment. So even in the BSS segment, while the revenue saw a sharp growth, if segmental excluding all the adjustments that you have mentioned, the EBITDA margin, the PBT margin was flat or QOQ. So if you could just explain the growth drivers going forward, and if global flight continues to improve, this 6.7% as you all have reported, could it continue increasing?
Yes, global will definitely keep on increasing because the costs are already taken into account. A post gestation period, every airport is profitable or will be profitable. So global will keep on improving, and that is the trend that we are seeing in almost every business that we have right now. And in any case, Q2 and Q3 are the better quarters. So because there is festive demand and also festive jobs that happen. So there are a lot of shorter term projects that come in, and also some other payments that come in at that time. So Q2 and Q3 will anyway be stronger.
Okay. And just another last question, if I can. In the IFM business, a lot of your peers have been stating the fact that the larger customers are seeing lower margins. And would that mean that your incremental customers are coming at a better gross margin for you?
So that is our attempt, that we always want to take customers at margins that are accretive, which means higher than our current overall margin. For some strategic reasons, for one particular product line, we may offer margins that are lower or pricing that is lower to establish a relationship with some of these customers. But otherwise, the general expectation that you're talking about is correct, which is that new customers should come in at a margin which is at where we are or better.
Okay. Thank you so much. Okay.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Naman Shah from Monarch Network Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my question. Congratulations on the good set of numbers. I just had one question. In the ISM segment, how much of your revenue is from government and how much is from non-government?
Government is almost zero now.
It should be by the
almost zero. 1-2%, and we are almost 100% private sector.
So, just wanted to understand, having the government contract, doesn't it make 3-4 years of stable revenue for you?
Sorry? I didn't get that question.
Yeah, so if you have a government contract, that means you bid through, you are in the bidding process, and if you bid and win, you have 3-4 years of stable income, correct?
That is correct, but government business comes with its own set of complications, in terms of penalties, in terms of the payment cycles. Sometimes the DSOs can be above 6 months, and there are other issues. So therefore, our attempt has been, it's not that we are saying you will never do government business, but extremely selective, and right now very, very low exposure to those kinds of contracts. And it's unlikely that this will become very large for us.
Okay, that's my only question. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Akshat Bharti from RSPN Ventures. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my question. So, sir, I'm new to this company and want to understand a bit about the ISM business. So we have a lot of segments in the ISM business. So can you share what is the major segment, like from where does most of the revenue comes from the ISM segment?
So ISM basically comprises soft services, which is cleaning services by and large. It comprises engineering services, which is a fairly large part of our business. The third major one where we are very strong is production support services, PSS. This is where we support industries on their industrial plants, on their manufacturing lines, etc., doing O&M and other such services. So that's the third large one. And then you have institutional catering, which is also growing very well. And we're very strong in the south, so that's a big one. And then what we have is warehouse management, which is not very large for us, but we see growth over there later. And also, there is a very specialized company that we have called Washroom Hygiene, where we provide services for safe and environmentally friendly disposal of used sanitary napkins. So that's a high margin business for us. So those are the six segments that we have in this space.
Got it, sir. Sir, can you quantify what percentage of revenue comes from these segments?
So we don't quite break it up like that, but I can give you some very, very broad numbers. You will have staffing at about 10% or less. You will have institutional catering at about 10%, or maybe slightly less than that. Engineering services and soft services would be about 30%. Each soft would be about 40. Engineering would be about 25, say, so that would be about 65. And production support services will also be about 15 or 20. So washroom hygiene is a very small business. Washroom hygiene is a very small revenue business, but strong EBITDA, 40% EBITDA.
Got it. Thank you so much. So my second question will be, you stated that we are number two or number three in the market share in most of our segments. So, what is something that we do different from your peers to have that kind of market share?
So I think we have over the years, one of the strongest pieces really is our customer relationships and our customer management. So because we deliver services which are reliable and we deliver services which are as per the customer's expectation, that's why the relationship exists. Most of our new business also comes from existing customers. So that is a measure of the satisfaction that they derive from what we have done for them. So if you're already doing business with them, say in plant A or in factory 1, then they will take us to factory 2, 3, 4 and 5. So that is the kind of thing that we have seen. So one is the quality of services delivered, quality of relationship that we have with them. We are also bringing in technology in various parts of what we do. So that is helping very clearly. So that I would say would be the third. And the last to an extent is really the bouquet of services that we have. So we have a full range of services which is helpful in the customer, because most customers are now consolidating the vendors that they have. And they want to deal with larger vendors who are more compliant, and UDS being listed has very strong credentials in that. So that helps. So the reputation that UDS has, because of the fact now also that it is listed and we've been in the market for 30 years, that has been very, very helpful as well. So those would be the three or four core trends. The fact that we've been there, reputation, the fact that we understand the business and have delivered services for them, the fact that we have a full bouquet of services, and the fact that we have people who have been with the company for a long time. Churn is low at our site management level, and therefore we have strong relationships.
Got it, sir. Thank you. And sir, my last question is, any guidance for FY25 on a consolidated level?
No, we don't yet give formal guidance. So that we are not, we are not giving out or putting out a formal guidance.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir. And so just one last bookkeeping question. Sir, what will be the tax rate going for FY25?
So our tax rate roughly is about 15%, and we expect
24 or so much.
16, yeah.
So we're looking about 15-16%.
Yeah, about 15-16%. And the thing to note over there is that we are not dependent on ATJJ. So that is something for you to keep in mind. So we are not really dependent on that.
Okay, thank you so much. Thank you for taking my question and all.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pranav Shrimal from Pink Wealth Advisory. Please go ahead.
Hello?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I had a few questions. I just want to understand, in our sales enablement business, what exactly is the service that we offer? And going forward, how do you see the market growing for it?
You're talking about BSS?
In the sales enablement sector, that is our Denave and the Athena software. I want to understand, how does it function exactly?
Yeah, so Denave is basically sales enablement. Athena is also sales enablement. Sales enablement basically means that we help our customers sell more. So we have a digital business where we help them sell more digitally. We also help them generate leads and close sales also, or pass on the leads to them, and we get paid for that. So this is done through a lot of digital work. It is also done through other campaigns that are run. And it also they also do a lot of market activation activity, which is on the ground. So they are the three or four areas where they work. So there is market activation, there is telesales, which is the lead part of it, and there is digital, primarily these three.
And so are these businesses right now, are they profitable for us?
Yes.
Have we incurred the cost of all of them
possible?
And what is the revenue contribution from this business?
We don't break it up like that. So I will not be able to give you a revenue or an EBITDA breakup at that level. But at the legal entity level for Denave and for the others, we have actually already given it in the previous one this thing. But we will just
together it is about 36% is the BSS segment, Denave, Athena, Global, and
And the margin was what?
Atenev is about 7.5% and Athena is close to 20%.
Totally we read out.
Yeah, we have given
9.9%. Yeah,
9.9% for BSS overall. I thought you wanted the product line breakup. Yeah.
Could you please repeat what the last slide?
For BSS, the margin number is 9.9%. But below that line, we don't give product-wise breakups. But the overall segment of BSS is delivering 9.9% EBITDA.
Okay, got it. And going forward, do we see anything or is it going to be around this level for a while?
No, so we do expect margins to improve. As revenue grows, there is cost arbitrage as well that kicks in. So margins will definitely improve. But we have already guided in the past that, or we have mentioned in the past, that margin improvement in this business is on cost arbitrage basis, not on price. So we will grow at about 0.2-0.3% year on year as far as margin is concerned, yes.
Okay, great. Thank you so much, sir. Best of luck.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Pritesh from Lucky Investment. Please go ahead.
Sir, could you give any indication on the EBITDA growth that you're looking at for the next couple of years? And second, in terms of your business, new business pipeline, any comments that you want to share?
So new business pipeline, because since we are in different kinds of businesses, the pipelines look different for the different businesses. But as far as revenue is concerned,
overall, I think what we have actually earlier also commented was we are looking at a 15-16% consol, all businesses put together. That's the growth we are looking at.
Yeah.
Earlier, you were calling out plus 20%. So any change why with respect to that?
So we may well be closer to that as well, but we don't believe in over-promising and then under-delivering. But the thing is, because there have been headwinds, and we had mentioned that in the last quarterly call also, there are headwinds in the EBGC business, for example, where clearly we are seeing uncertainty around IT hiring and therefore a slowdown in that business. And we had talked about the fact that to counter that to some extent, global will improve, which it has. And our AA business, audit and assurance business, is growing strongly. But since we do see weakness in EBGC and we do see some weakness in some of our other businesses, therefore we are mentioning 15-16%. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Rahil Shah from Crown Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, good afternoon. In the previous call about the IFM business, you had mentioned that, more and more projects that you're receiving already, and once you stabilize, you will see higher throughput. So is this happening now? What is the situation?
Interest happening in the sense, I mean, that is what we are working on that. I think if you look at this quarter numbers also, you would see a slight improvement over last quarter. So that is what is happening. Throughput will increase.
Okay.
That's answer your question?
Yeah. And what was your ESOP cost for the quarter and what will it be for the year?
ESOP was, what was last year, 8 crores. Fully.
Yeah, the whole, the ESOP cost for this particular period is about...
How much?
Last year it was about
9 million for this quarter.
Okay, so this, full...
The full year we are expecting it to be around 5 crores.
Yeah, 5 crores full year, and this quarter is about 1.1 crores.
1.1 crores. Last year,
and 5 crores full year.
Yeah, that is. But last year it was 8 crores, so that keeps reducing because the next team before that, but next year it gets over, I think. Right? That team?
One more year,
very small entity. So this year will be 5. That's your answer for that question.
Right. Okay. And just to reconfirm, I believe you said for the BSS segment, you expect margins to grow 0.2% every year?
Roughly overall margins.
Margins, not just BSS.
No. Console margins will grow between 0.2 to 0.3.
Right. Got it. Okay, sir. Thank you. And all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Heath Vora from Guardian Capital Partners. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Good afternoon. Thanks for the opportunity. I just had one question. I just want some clarification with respect to the investment that we've made in Winvi Technology. So we've done a rights issue of 7.9 crore. I just want to understand, given this is a loss-making business, why has this happened and we've given a further loan? And secondly, could you just give some information around why we've done this scheme of merger also with ITSS?
Okay, Chief, this is, it's a scheme of amalgamation between ITSS and Winvi. Winvi at this point of time having a net worth which is negative, and we want to go under Section 233, fast-track merger. UDS had given a loan already to Winvi, which was provided and impaired in UDS books. So we now have given them a little more money to increase the net worth to be positive. And of course, that money has come back. That loan has got repaid to us back. So cash terms, there's no impact for UDS. The money went as a rights issue and the money came back as a loan repayment. And this merger is necessary for us because ITSS is also invested in a technology company and Winvi is a technology company. Strategically, if we merge these two companies, we'll have a lot of synergies.
Especially on the go-to-market, because ITSS has a go-to-market already in place. Winvi, there's no point investing new money to get them to create another go-to-market. ITSS already has that.
Got it. Understood. That's it. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Manu Jethwa from KSA Shares and Securities. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon and good set of numbers which you have given for Q1 FY25. My question is there on the BSS side. This is regarding the field marketing services which we are doing for one prestigious mobile manufacturer in India. So maybe have any sort of numbers, how much revenue we could have it in couple of quarters or for the FY25?
Yeah, the last quarter we reported close to 40 crore of revenue in Denim, which has come out of this new initiative, which they are running the retail stores. It's not just running it, enabling the sales, converting it. It's a comprehensive solution which we are providing for the largest mobile manufacturer.
Maybe have the name of that particular manufacturer and how big is the contract?
See, we cannot share that unless we get the approval from the manufacturer at this point of time.
Also, that's competitive information. So we will not be able to share the exact name. But, there aren't that many who are that large. So
you can understand.
You can draw your own conclusions also.
And my another question is company is harping more on the technological and digital use of providing all the services. Are we moving away from the, mass scale of people labor deployment to smart solutions for the technology enablement for the providing services in the BSS or the ISM segment? And how it could be EBITDA and margin accretive to the businesses at large?
So there are two parts to that question. One is that, are we moving away from people intensive and more into technology? We are certainly examining all types of technology, but these are mostly inward looking in the sense that they will help transform internal productivity and efficiency. So, and it will help improve customer interactions. In some businesses like Denev and Matrix, Denev in particular, it could also result in some new services getting created. But will we reduce our dependence on people? See, at this point in time, hard to comment. But we certainly expect that it will add to productivity. So, but that might mean a few jobs getting relocated or people being redeployed to some other area.
So my another one question for you, with your kind permission, would be the opportunity with the BSS has in the Korean market, and how much revenue we would be doing right now under that segment?
So not much. It's not a reportable number. It's not that large. But the idea is that it complements our Asia offering, because there are global customers who want services in various countries. So it will not be a material number in the near future. But Korea is a large market, and you know, in the future, 2 to 3 years down the line, it could be a significant revenue and EBITDA generator.
Okay, okay. Thank you. Thank you very much. That's all from my side, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today, and I would now like to hand the conference over to management for closing comments.
Thank you. Okay. Fine, I didn't know you were waiting for my comment. Thank you everyone for joining us. I hope we have been able to answer all your queries. We look forward to such interactions in the future. In case you require any further details, you may contact us or Mr. Devan of SGA, Investor Relations Advisors. Thank you once again.
Thank you.
Bye. Thank you. On behalf of Updata Services Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.